This audio chapter is licensed with a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License, with permission granted by the authors and narrators. This license enables reusers to distribute, remix, adapt, and build upon the material in any medium or format for non-commercial purposes only, and only so long as attribution is given to the creator.
Higher Education for Good, Teaching and Learning Futures. Edited by Laura Chernovich and Catherine Cronin. Chapter 24, Cultivating Sustainable Blended and Open Learning Ecosystems. Written by Patricia Arinto, Primo Garcia, and Ana Katrina Marshall. Read by Ana Katrina Marshall. Introduction. In recent years, blended online and open learning, or BOL, have been heralded as the future of higher education. Face-to-face or F2F instruction has limited reach and is often not accessible to those who are poor, geographically isolated, and are differently abled. It is also characterized by uneven quality, with its dependence on the capability of individual teachers and their willingness to update their knowledge and skills. Lalima and Dangwal, 2017. In contrast, BOL can, in principle, cater to many and more diverse learners, increase student engagement using a range of digital tools and resources, and develop digital literacies and independent learning skills, which are essential to lifelong learning. In the Philippines, Republic Act or RA 10650 or the Open and Distance Learning or ODL Act of 2014 and the Guidelines on the Implementation of Flexible Learning, issued by the Commission on Higher Education, or CHED, in 2020, encourage higher education institutions, HEIs, to implement BOL. The ODL Act of 2014 declares, quote, "It is hereby declared the policy of the state to expand and further democratize access to quality tertiary education through the promotion of open learning as a philosophy of access to educational services, and the use of distance education as an appropriate, efficient, and effective system of delivering quality higher and technical educational services in the country." End quote from Section 2. During the COVID-19 pandemic, the relevance of distance education was further underscored as Philippine HEIs sought to maintain learning continuity amidst lockdowns and community quarantines. The CHED Guidelines on the Implementation of Flexible Learning in 2020, issued at the height of the pandemic, referred to, quote, "the urgent need to explore other innovative learning modalities that will allow customization of delivery modes responsive to students' need for access to quality education," end quote. From page 1. The CHED Guidelines in 2020 define flexible learning as a pedagogical approach that addresses differences in learner needs and contexts through, quote, "the use of digital and non-digital technology and face-to-face or in-person learning, out-of-classroom learning, or a combination of modes of delivery," end quote. From page 2. Both the ODL Act and the Guidelines on Flexible Learning refer to the imperative to broaden access to quality higher education, consistent with the state's commitment to the protection and promotion of, quote, "the right of all citizens to affordable quality education at all levels," end quote. Higher Education Act of 1994, Section 2. Higher education is an important driver of economic and social development through poverty reduction and promotion of democratic values. It, quote, "leads to better jobs, stimulates economic growth, reduces vulnerability among the marginalized, and breaks patterns of poverty," end quote. Bahayon Berce, 2019. It can also help promote social cohesion through the development of, quote, "scientific," end quote, "ways of thinking," or, quote, "the capacity to analyze and understand complex socioeconomic and political problems," end quote. Leftwich, 2009, page 23, quoted in Schweisfurth et al. 2017, page 2. And social values such as tolerance, fairness, meritocracy, social responsibility, respect for the rule of law, and good governance. Schweisfurth et al. 2017. Higher education has an important role in achieving sustainable development goals through the development of a, quote, sustainability mindset, end quote, which includes, quote, management ethics, entrepreneurship, environmental studies, systems thinking, and self-awareness, end quote. Jalen Nien and Pereira, 2021. BOL can help improve access to higher education by providing learners flexibility regarding when and where to learn, and by facilitating access to more tools and resources for learning. It can also, quote, optimize use of limited resources, such as classrooms, making these available to more individuals through proper management, end quote. Pahayon Berce, 2019. Furthermore, BOL can stimulate new pedagogies that can transform learning. However, achieving quality higher education for all with the help of BOL requires a systems approach to building capacity in BOL among Philippine HEIs, as in HE sectors elsewhere. In this chapter, we explore the notion of a BOL ecosystem composed of institutions interacting at different levels as a community of BOL providers in an environment with the resources and support mechanisms necessary for growth. From ODL to BOL. BOL practice in the Philippines can be traced back to the adoption of open and distance learning, or ODL, by several institutions in the 1990s. The Polytechnic University of the Philippines, or PUP, claims to have pioneered the open university concept in the country with the establishment of its open university called Pamantasang Bayan in the 1970s and its revival in 1990. The University of the Philippines, or UP Los Baños, implemented a project called Upgrading Science Teaching Using Distance Instruction, or STUDY, in the mid-80s. In 1995, the UP Open University, or UPOU, was established as a constituent university of the UP system, with a mandate to offer degree programs through distance education to, quote, democratize access to quality higher education, end quote. Some of the other state universities, for example, Benguet State University, Bicol University, and Central Luzon State University, followed suit and established their own DE units, adopting the nomenclature, quote, open university, end quote. Although unlike UPOU, they are not full-fledged universities operating autonomously. There are also private ODL institutions, such as the Southeast Asia Interdisciplinary Development Institute, or SIDE, Graduate School of Organization Development, and the Asian Institute for Distance Education, or AID. Until the end of the 1990s, distance education in the Philippines was print-based, with occasional tutorial or study sessions held in learning centers. In 2001, UPOU adopted web-based or online distance education as a mode of delivery for some of its courses. Other universities were also taking an interest in e-learning, and a national conference on e-learning was held in 2002. The Philippine E-Learning Society was established in 2003 with the aim of, quote, promoting substantive content, appropriate pedagogy, and appropriate use of technology for e-learning, guided by ongoing research activities, end quote. By 2007, UPOU had shifted completely to online DE mode. And within 5 years, that is, by 2012, began experimenting with offering its own massive open online courses, or MOOCs, in partnership with organizations wanting to expand the reach of their continuing education programs. UPOU adopted the term model for, quote, massive open distance e-learning, end quote, for its MOOC platform, Pandalaria 2014. The term, quote, open and distance e-learning, end quote, or ODEL, was coined by UPOU's administrators at the time to refer to, quote, forms of education provision that use contemporary technologies to enable varied combinations of synchronous and asynchronous communication among learners and educators who are physically separated from one another for part or all of the educational experience, end quote. Alfonso, 2012. ODEL is an expansion of the term, quote, open and distance learning, end quote, or ODL, to include e-learning or online learning methodologies. Its coinage was consistent with the fact that only 17 Philippine higher education institutions were offering DE programs, and many other academic institutions were expressing interest in offering courses in online or blended mode. Alfonso, 2014. As evidenced by the number of attendees in the conferences on ODEL that UPOU ran annually. Still, it was not until the eruption of the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020 that Philippine universities really took DE and online learning seriously. Indeed, colleges and universities had no choice but to shift to DE or remote learning. The conventional HEIs pursued a type of remote learning characterized by a combination of synchronous and asynchronous online learning. This is a variant of blended learning, Cleveland Inns and Wilton 2018, called Blended Online Learning, Power 2008. The other two variants of blended learning are the blended block model, which combines blocks of independent online study and intensive face-to-face sessions, and the classical blended model, which alternates or rotates face-to-face sessions in asynchronous online learning, Cleveland Inns and Wilton 2018. When CHED allowed limited face-to-face sessions in programs in the medical and allied fields, the health sciences units in UP and other universities in Metro Manila adopted the blended block and classic blended models. In the transition to a post-pandemic world, blended learning is seen as the better alternative to conventional classroom-based instruction and distance education. The Draft Guide to Learning Delivery Modes in UP for Academic Year 2022-2023 notes that well-designed blended learning can improve learning outcomes and provide flexibility for teachers and learners. Specifically, the guide refers to the potential of blended learning to foster learner engagement and active learning, expand opportunities for collaborative learning, enable learning anytime and anywhere, develop independent learning skills, and develop digital skills. The guide also notes that blended learning gives academic institutions greater flexibility in the scheduling of face-to-face sessions in different courses to avoid crowding on campuses, and allows for learning continuity in case of changes in public health alert levels and other disruptions through a rapid shift to fully remote or online learning. It can also allow academic institutions to plan for more optimal use of campus facilities and more strategic technology infrastructure development and support to ensure access for all learners, especially those with limited means. The concern for ensuring access to learning for a diverse population of learners, the majority of whom come from low-income families and reside in areas with poor internet connectivity, underpins CHED's choice of the term, quote, flexible learning, end quote, as the approach to higher education during and beyond the pandemic. The CHED guidelines in 2020 differentiate levels of technology use in teaching and learning and present three learning modalities for HEIs to consider, quote, offline, blended, and online, end quote. The guidelines also suggest that flexible teaching and learning is not a temporary arrangement, but a, quote, paradigm shift, end quote, underpinned by the need to be, quote, responsive to learners' needs for access to quality education, end quote. A BOL ecosystem. For the realization of the envisioned paradigm shift to flexible higher education, it is important to consider the diversity of higher education provision in the Philippines, an archipelago of more than 7,000 islands and 182 ethno-linguistic groups, living in a few crowded cities and regional centers, and many geographically isolated rural towns. There are, at present, close to 2,000 HEIs, including 112 public or state universities and colleges, or SUCs, with 421 satellite campuses among them, 121 local universities and colleges, 13, quote, other government schools, end quote, and 1,729 private colleges and universities. Despite this relatively large number of tertiary education providers, the percentage of college students is small, given the low completion rate in basic and secondary education. Only 55% of those who enrolled in grade 1 finish high school. The Philippine education sector is confronted with the challenge of relevance and sustainability given the high levels of income inequality and poverty among the population, high dropout rates and poor academic achievement, and lack of funding for education, among others. How can BOL help address these systemic problems, and how do, quote, differently situated, end quote, HEIs come together to, quote, converge and harmonize efforts, end quote, as the CHED guidelines in 2020 invite, to make quality higher education accessible to all learners through BOL. To help address these questions, we use the metaphor of a BOL ecosystem composed of different types of institutions interacting as a community of BOL providers. Like a biological ecosystem, a BOL ecosystem has biotic, teachers, learners, institutions, and abiotic, educational technology, infrastructure, components, and nodes interacting in a network of institutions that are public and private colleges and universities and regulatory agencies. Figure 24.1 is a depiction of the current BOL ecosystem in the Philippines. The key institutions in the current BOL ecosystem are the following. The Commission on Higher Education, or CHED, which sets minimum standards for programs and institutions of higher learning as provided for in Republic Act No. 7722. The University of the Philippines, or UP system, composed of 8 constituent universities, including UPOU. As the national university, it is mandated to lead in higher education and development by setting academic standards and initiating innovations in teaching, research, and faculty development in various disciplines and professions, and by providing advanced studies to scholars and professionals, especially those who serve in the faculty of state and private colleges and universities, RA 9500. The UP Open University, or UPOU, which is recognized as the leading provider of DE in the country and mandated by the ODL Act, RA 10650, to contribute to upgrading the quality of the Philippine education system by developing innovative instructional strategies and technologies and sharing these with other colleges and universities through cooperative programs. State universities and colleges, or SUCs, which are institutions of higher learning established by the Philippine Congress and are fully subsidized by the national government. At present, there are 112 SUCs in the country. Private universities and colleges, which are incorporated as non-stock or stock educational corporations, Batas Pambansa Bilang 232, as amended by RA 7798. There are currently more than 1,700. The Technical Skills Development Authority, or TESDA, which aims to provide relevant, efficient, accessible, and high-quality technical education and skills development, in support of the development of a globally competitive Filipino middle-level workforce, RA7796. The Department of Education, or DepEd, which is charged with, quote, the establishment and maintenance of a complete, adequate, and integrated system of basic education relevant to the goals of national development, end quote, through policy formulation, implementation, and coordination of basic education programs and projects, and supervision of all elementary and secondary education institutions, including alternative learning systems, both public and private, DepEd. There are various relationships or interactions between and among these primary actors in the ecosystem. CHED has a regulatory function over Philippine HEIs, which are classified by source of funding, that is, as public or private, and by level of regulation, that are autonomous HEIs, deregulated HEIs, and regulated HEIs. CHED sets higher education policies, standards, and guidelines, and ensures compliance through a system of accreditation of educational institutions and their academic offerings. CHED also facilitates access to higher education through scholarship programs and the promotion of flexible learning, and it provides competitive financial grants to these institutions to support teaching and research initiatives. CHED commissioners head the governing boards of all SUCs. In addition, senior academics from different universities who are recognized as leaders in their respective disciplines sit on CHED's technical panels. UP, as the national university, occupies a unique position in the HE system. It is considered autonomous from CHED, although the CHED chairperson sits as the chairperson of the UP Board of Regents, and CHED disperses the tertiary education subsidy for UP students. UP provides technical expertise in higher education matters. It also applies for and receives financial grants from CHED for some of its educational and research initiatives. With regard to its interactions with other HEIs, UP has educated many of the country's leaders, both in government and industry, and many administrators and professors in other universities, particularly SUCs, receive their graduate training at UP. Its academic programs are considered the model for those of other institutions. Regarding BOL, given UP's status as well as the relative unfamiliarity of BOL to most educational institutions in the country, it is possible that the latter will find it safer to adopt or mimic Cardona et al. 2020, the modes of teaching and learning in the national university. UPOU is a primary node in the BOL ecosystem by virtue of its status as the leading institution in DE and online learning, its role as defined in the ODL Act, and its status as a constituent unit of the national university. The ODL Act stipulates that UPOU should provide technical advice to CHED in its regulatory functions related to distance and transnational education and in capacity building in open and distance learning. It also stipulates that CHED should provide funding to UPOU to support its capacity building programs for HEIs. The ODL Act also states that UPOU should provide technical assistance to TESTA in the delivery of their technical vocational courses via ODL. To fulfill this institutional mandate, UPOU has implemented a wide range of capacity building initiatives, including online and in-person seminars, MOOCs, workshops customized for specific organizations and groups, national and international conferences, and graduate certificate and master's programs. Some of these initiatives are formal collaborations with CHED for large-scale training, while others involve partnerships with specific institutions. Public and private higher education institutions offer a range of curricular programs in different modes in keeping with their respective institutional mandates. In the post-pandemic context, many conventional institutions may be more likely to implement blended learning with a face-to-face learning component, while institutions catering to geographically dispersed learners would offer fully online programs with varying proportions of synchronous and asynchronous learning. Some of the more established universities may venture into offering MOOCs to the public, while others will limit their online offerings to students already enrolled in their regular programs or those whom they wish to attract into their programs. Ecosystem resilience. Mars and Bronstein in 2018 argue that in a biological ecosystem, not every node is linked to every other node. Links may vary in strength and can impart positive, neutral, or negative effects, and nodes grow and shrink over time. They can be lost without the ecosystem as a whole necessarily failing. Page 384. Similarly, the BOL ecosystem can be seen as evolving with varying levels of interactions and types of collaboration among the different institutions comprising the network. At present, aside from participating in the training programs run by UPOU, SUCs and private HEIs connect with UPOU for benchmarking and research activities. But while these interactions are productive, there is an urgent need to make the BOL ecosystem more robust and resilient. A robust and resilient ecosystem is better able to adapt to and recover from environmental change. It can withstand or respond to threats while maintaining diversity and important connections or links between members. Halling, 1973. Latham et al., 2021. Applied to the BOL ecosystem, developing resilience means cultivating diversity, vigor, and adaptability, and stronger linkages among institutions. It is necessary to have different types of educational institutions, SUCs and private HEIs, conventional universities and distance education universities, offering a range of programs in different modes to diverse learners. And just as an ecosystem's resilience depends on links between and within habitats, partnerships and collaboration between BOL institutions will facilitate exchanges of ideas, practices, and economic and social capital that will strengthen each institution and the entire network. Under the ODL Act, UPOU can help establish a robust and resilient BOL ecosystem by facilitating the development of zonal centers and nurturing a strong network of BOL leaders and practitioners. Section 13 of the ODL Act, 2014, refers to, quote, centers, one each in Metro Manila, Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao, and eventually one in each region that shall take charge of the training of teachers for ODL programs, end quote. In the post-pandemic context, these zonal centers would support not only ODL programs, but a whole range of BOL. This is the long-term aim of UPOU's Sustainable Institution Building for Open Learning, or CBOL initiative, a pilot project under the, quote, Advancing Equity and Access to Higher Education Through Open and Distance Learning, end quote, a project co-funded by the EU Erasmus Plus program. The acronym CBOL is also a Filipino word that means, quote, to sprout, end quote, or, quote, to grow, end quote. Accordingly, the CBOL program seeks to cultivate the capacity of academic institutions to plan, manage, and support effective BOL programs and grow a network of BOL leaders and practitioners. The program has three phases. Phase 1 is a 14-week online training program composed of 7 modules and systems for blended online and open learning. It combines independent and collaborative learning and features asynchronous and synchronous activities. Phase 2 is a mentoring and network building program that aims to foster institutional collaboration in the implementation of different BOL initiatives. Active and meaningful participation in these two phases is expected to lead to Phase 3, where zonal centers will emerge to act as nodes of effective BOL practice in their respective regions. CBOL differs from UPOU's other capacity-building initiatives in its application of a systems approach to fostering effective BOL practice within institutions and across the BOL ecosystem. For one, CBOL participants are not individual practitioners, but teams of academic administrators tasked with overseeing BOL planning, program implementation, and monitoring and evaluation in their respective institutions. For example, directors or coordinators of teaching and learning, DE or e-learning centers, coordinators for instructional materials development, systems administrators, student services coordinators, and QA officers. And instead of classroom or course-level practice of BOL, the training curriculum focuses on the program and institution-level components of BOL implementation, strategic planning, materials development, technology management, faculty development, learner support, and quality assurance. At the time of writing this chapter, CBOL was in its early phase. Nevertheless, some insights into cultivating a BOL ecosystem, both within institutions and across the higher education sector, can be gleaned from this initial stage of the program. Within academic institutions, an ecosystem approach to BOL necessitates developing skills and capabilities in the following ways. Analyzing the institutional context, that is, the institution's mission and the communities it serves, as well as national legislation, policies and guidelines, and global developments. For example, the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals that provide the climate and weather conditions for BOL and the available resources for BOL. Fostering and strengthening coordination among units in charge of different BOL subsystems. Calibrating the resources and effort needed for each BOL subsystem to develop and the strategy for managing change within the institution. Anticipating the internal and external factors that may weaken the institution's BOL system. And setting up healthy BOL subsystems that can keep the entire system from withering. The issues and concerns articulated by the participants in CBOL Phase 1 show that planning for BOL is a highly complex process, even where institutions have some experience of implementing BOL and willingness to institutionalize BOL. Aside from clear policies and adequate systems, BOL requires a collective rethinking of institutional thrusts and critical reflection on institutional culture and values and how these can inform as well as undermine the BOL strategy. Adopting a new instructional model is fraught with, quote, daunting difficulties like change management, end quote, as one participant put it, which requires systems thinking and a long-term commitment to building trust among members of the institution before transformational outcomes, Lamert et al. 2018, can be achieved. Across the higher education sector, an ecosystem approach to BOL calls for the following. Careful analysis of institutional backgrounds and capacities that are organizational setup, human and technical resources, existing partnerships, and capacity-building initiatives implemented, and levels of engagement in BOL based on institutional setups. Recognizing the diversity of institutions and positioning each in a spectrum in terms of the assistance they need in contextualizing BOL frameworks and approaches, and in stimulating interactions between institutions. Intentional design to deepen engagement, encourage interaction between institutions, and provide feedback. And addressing environmental factors that impede growth, including a weak information technology or IT infrastructure, policy gaps and tensions, lack of funding, and low levels of digital literacy, among others. Infrastructure, including power supply, hardware, devices, and software and connectivity, is a critical component of the environment for BOL in the Philippines. As the country's experience during the COVID-19 pandemic has shown, affordable as well as, quote, reliable internet connectivity remains a challenge in many cities and municipalities across the country, end quote. U.S. Embassy Manila, 2022. no page. In the Digital Quality of Life Index 2022, the Philippines ranked 98th out of 117 countries in internet affordability, 45th in internet quality, and 61st in mobile internet speed, TAN 2022. These infrastructural challenges are beyond the control of the higher education sector, and CHED in 2020 has instead articulated a framework for flexible learning that includes a range of delivery modes. Quote, depending on the levels of technology, availability of devices, internet connectivity, level of digital literacy, and approaches, end quote. To address, quote, learners' unique needs, end quote. However, while the framework espouses a learner-centered perspective, the ability of HEIs to implement different learning delivery modes is circumscribed not only by infrastructural issues, but also pressure from politicians who approve the budget for higher education to return to, quote, 100% face-to-face classes, end quote. Fernandez, 2022. Concluding note, there is a long way to go in building a robust POL ecosystem in Philippine higher education. And CBOL is only one program among a host of interventions that are needed for establishing this ecosystem. What may be noted at this point is the value of an ecosystem perspective in adopting blended online and open learning as a strategy for providing quality higher education for all in the Philippines. In the envisioned BOL ecosystem that CBOL hopes to help cultivate, see Figure 24.2, the BOL centers mentor and support different types of academic institutions and associations or consortia of HEIs, who are catering to different types of learners, including non-traditional learners and marginalized learners, with little to no access to a post-secondary education using various learning modalities. The diversity of institutions and the relationships among them, including collaborations and exchanges, as well as healthy competition, would make individual members and the BOL ecosystem more responsive, adaptable, and productive. Hammer et al. 2018. In this robust and resilient ecosystem, quality higher education for all is possible. While this chapter focuses on the Philippines, we have aimed to illustrate how adopting an ecosystem's perspective prompts us to think about how a healthy BOL ecosystem might be fostered. While natural ecosystems develop organically, building an education ecosystem is more intentional, involving a process of design, of capacity-building programs, for example. Having an ecosystem's perspective, however, means, quote, analyzing how an educational ecology is functioning, how it is achieving what it achieves, how its internal processes generate its outcomes, end quote. Ellison Goodyear, 2019, page 218. And adopting the approach through to development. The approach to be taken needs not only to be sensitive to internal dynamics and environmental factors promoting as well as limiting growth, but also developmental, collaborative, restorative, and reflexive, allowing individual members and the entire ecosystem to flourish.